Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you, November 28, 11:28, and I was reminded this morning of that great verse in Matthew, right? Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? Learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart. This morning, we are going to look at another great prayer. I say that every week, but they're all great. But this is the only time in the Bible where Jesus directly tells anyone, great is your faith. He said it in Matthew 8 regarding the Gentile Cornelius praying for his servant, but he didn't tell it to him. He told him to those people later when he heard that the servant was healed that very hour. And then he said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. But here we have it told to not a man, but a woman, not a Jew, but a Gentile. And she goes from being an unknown woman in 34 words, at least in the New King James, 34 words, to being addressed by Jesus, great is your faith. So this prayer is drawing out her faith, and we've been over it before, and there's much to learn here, but there was one facet of it that really struck me in verse 25, after her second rebuke by the Lord, it says, then she came and worshiped him. And I want you to focus as we go through the prayer this morning on the times when you pray and you get no answer. And you think, well, the Lord doesn't hear me. No, the Lord hears you. But he's got other things in mind. But what do you do when you get no answer? She worshiped. Do you worship? Or do you, well, I don't know, Lord must not hear my prayers. I've got so much sin in my life. He doesn't want to hear me anymore. No, don't go there. Worship him. Worship him. So I want to just sing an old hymn this morning, Oh, Worship the King. And then we'll get on into this prayer of this Syrophoenician woman. But let's begin by worshiping the King. And first, let's just pray to the Lord. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to gather once again to focus on your word and to focus on the prayers in the Bible. And as we go through them, Lord, we thank you that through your Spirit, you will speak to each of us in giving us exactly what we need and what you would have us to learn. And so, would you teach us this morning, Lord? And we want to just worship you. We want to begin and end today's little prayer time with worship. And we want to begin by just praising you with an old hymn, Oh, Worship the King. Lead us now, Lord, in that worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Let's sing along. Matthew chapter 15, Verse 21, we read, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." This is, I think, the only time that we have Jesus leaving the land of Israel that I'm aware of. And this is on the coast there, the Phoenician coast. This would be north today of Haifa, just a little bit, in today's Lebanon. Mark's gospel tells us that he went into a house and he didn't want anyone to know he was there. He basically was going to get away from the crowds. He's been having multitudes, great multitudes of crowds, but there's been more and more resistance against the gospel. There's been resistance by the Pharisees and scribes who want to kill him. Herod has just killed James, and the persecution is starting to increase. Also, many of the Israelites were turning away from him because they were just in it for the goodies. They were just following the gospel for the healing and for the miracles, but were not really interested in anything else. But he gets there, and we find in verse 22 that a Phoenician woman, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile, and it says, "And behold," in other words, observe or look, "a woman came from that region and cried out to him, saying," now a Gentile is crying out, notice her cry, "Have mercy on my daughter." Is that what it says? "Have mercy on me." Important. I think it to personalize your prayers. She's crying out not on behalf of someone else, but she's crying out as though it's part of her. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." What does that mean? She's addressing him as the Messiah. He hasn't announced his messiahship yet. She believes, I think, early on that he is the Messiah. But she's not an Israelite. So she's going to get rebuked. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." So she has a great address, great fervency in prayer, great desperation here, calling for desperate measures, really, identifying the problem. "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." That was not uncommon in those days. Jesus answered her prayers and says, "Be healed." Is that what it says? He answered her not a word. Very unusual. Very unusual. But I do think we can learn from this, not because of the same reason that Jesus wouldn't answer our prayers immediately, because usually it's because what we're praying for is not best for us, and he knows what's best for us. But when we do not have an answer to prayer, I think we can learn from this very example here. He answered her not a word. And of course, his disciples, they chip in now. They're not compassionate. I don't think they care for her. I don't think they care for her daughter. They just want to get rid of her because she's a persistent pest. She came into the house where they wanted to rest. She won't stop. She's desperate, and she's bothering them. So Jesus, heal her and get her out of here, and then Jesus won't heal her right then. So what do? They take matters in their own hands and leave, you know. "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Now the second rebuke. Jesus answered and said to her request, "Have mercy on me, Son of David. O Lord, Son of David, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What do you make of that verse? There is an order to Jesus' coming to earth, and he came first to save the lost sheep of Israel. But knowing that they would reject him as prophetically told, then he would turn to the Gentiles. But he hasn't really totally been rejected by the Israelites yet, and he hasn't gone to the cross. What did he say right before he went to heaven after the cross? Go into all the world, right? Preach the gospel to everybody, Gentiles, Jews, everybody alike. So now we're in the position of where our Lord Jesus is for everyone. But at this point in time, as the Messiah, he came for the lost sheep of Israel, and she's not a Jew. So she's really not quite coming in the right position here, because he says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But now notice what she does. And what do you think you would do at this point? I mean, we get enough guilt on ourselves most of the time anyway, don't we? And if our Lord would say, you're not credentialed, do you think we would argue with him? I think, well, I'd fold up my tent and go home. He doesn't want to hear my prayer, and I'm not even worthy, I'm not even fit to pray this prayer. Because he said he wasn't sent for me, he was sent for the Israelites, and I'm not an Israelite. But what does she do? She came and worshiped him, saying, now notice what she says. She doesn't say, Lord, son of David. She says, Lord, save me. Now, as a child of God, she has perfect right to call on Jesus as Lord. No restriction there at all. So now she's coming to call him Lord, in my opinion, and she's saying, help me. What a great prayer. Remember those two words. That prayer will fit any occasion, any time, I believe. Help me. Great prayer, right? Last week we had save me. This week we have help me. We see in the Bible very long prayers, don't we? King James, English, and all, right? I don't think so. I mean, we see some of those, but I mean, here's save me, here's help me. So she came and worshiped him. So do we worship him when we are not getting the answers that we want? Are we worshiping him when we don't see what we want to see? We should be worshiping him. We should be really worshiping him as she did. Now, she answers the prayer, right? No, she doesn't. No, Jesus doesn't yet. There's a third rebuke here. Now, why is he rebuking her the third time? Why even the second time? Well, remember the end of the story now. He's going to say, I've not seen such great faith. Great is your faith. Jesus knows all things. He knows the faith that's in her heart, but he wants to draw it out. And a lot of times in our lives, he wants to draw our faith out. How does he draw our faith out? By giving us answers immediately? It doesn't take any answer. It doesn't take any faith if you've got the answers already, does it? No, faith is the assurance of things not seen, right? Evidence of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for. So we read here, after she worships and says, Lord, help me, and now she's really not coming to him as the Messiah, but he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, fortunately, that word dog there is puppy, is kind of a house pet. But in those days, the Jews would refer to Gentiles as Gentile dogs, which was the worst thing a Jew would call a person. And Jews didn't curse. If you see a Jew today and he's cursing, he'll curse in English. They won't curse in Hebrew. Amazing. But there's another little thing going on here that could be with the little dogs. In that culture, you know, they didn't eat on dining room tables with china and napkins and what do you call those things where you squirt on your hands to clean them off? I don't know what it is. The bacteria-free stuff and all that. They didn't have any of that. So what they did, they were all, you know, eating with their hands. And so at the end of the meal, what they would always do is save a little bread. And then they would wipe their hands off with the bread. And then they would toss it to the little dogs because there were always little dogs around. So in that case here, it's not such a horrendous, awful term, little dog, as it would be big dog, right? And I don't think Jesus is harsh with her at all. But I think he does say it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now remember, he's still drawing out her faith. So how does she then answer? Does she say, no, Lord, I know I'm not worthy? She says, yes. After the third rebuke of Jesus, would you say yes? I don't think I would. I wouldn't say yes after the second rebuke, probably. But here after the third rebuke, she says, yes, Lord. Are you saying yes, Lord? Or are you like Peter saying, no, Lord, not I. I won't eat that food or whatever. She says, yes, Lord. And now notice her faith. Even this shows such great faith, such great humility. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And as I just mentioned, in that society, that would have been a very, like a parable here almost, in reverse coming from her. It is something they're very familiar with, but it's meaning something different to her. Oh, she doesn't need the whole loaf. She doesn't need the whole banquet. She just needs the crumbs. And there's another context here. I think that since the Jews are starting to reject him more, they're saying, I don't need that. I don't need that. And so she says, just give me the rejection. Just give me the crumbs. Lord, you're so awesome. I don't need the whole loaf. I just need a little crumb. Just a little crumb. And then Jesus answers and says this great, great statement, O woman, great is your faith. As I mentioned earlier, the only time in the Bible he says that directly about anybody, and here he says it to a Gentile woman. You know, she had everything going against her. She was a woman. That was a problem. Secondly, she was a Gentile. That was a big problem. And yet here, Jesus says something to her. He doesn't say to anybody else, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And again, if you go back and count the words, I think you'll find 34 words that we have recorded that she says. So she goes from an unknown to the only woman and the only person in the Bible who has been addressed as great is your faith. And I was thinking before and again today as I was reading this, if we were given the assignment to demonstrate how great your faith is in 34 words, what would you write? What would you write? I don't know. But here she is given, great is your faith, and then what? The answer to the prayer, let it be for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Father, we thank you for this prayer. Lord, we thank you for what we can learn from it. And Lord, help us to evaluate our prayer life. Help us to evaluate our worship life. Help us to evaluate those times when we do not hear quickly from you or hear from you what we want to hear from you. Maybe we're praying for healing for a person and instead of getting better, they get worse or whatever, Lord. It goes the opposite way of which we're praying and we don't understand. Lord, give us faith, Lord. Help us to develop that faith through such circumstances, Lord, and help us to worship you. No matter what happens, Lord, it doesn't change what you have done for us on the cross. It doesn't change what you have done for us in your promises to us. We have victory. We don't fight for it. We fight from it. We've already won, no matter what. And we're not here primarily about this life. We're here about the eternal position with you forever. But help us to redeem these days while we are here, such great opportunities now for the gospel in such a dark and dying world with calamity on every side of us. And so, Lord, give us faith and give us a desire to pray and give us a desire to worship you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us pray.